Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. My name's Jane Ellen. Adam, you have a name?
I don't.
Okay.
I've changed it. I have decided that it will just be a symbol and a series of clicking noises. I'm Jane Ellen, and this is...
So I'm driving with the girls, and I'm asked a question, and usually someone has headphones on just to annoy me. And I said, Jenna, do you have an answer? Jenna, what do you think? And she says to me, that was my thinking noise. What was your thinking noise? And so now that's our thing to say.
I guess it's like... You know, like when there's a fire and like you can tell from quite a ways away, oh, that's a fire truck.
What is your thinking?
She's just like, so if she's sitting there going, wow, wow, she'll be like, oh, she's thinking again.
Okay, here's the thing. She didn't make a noise. Okay, so I have been very delighted with a show that I'd been watching on YouTube in a cheaper version, Norm MacDonald. I had heard about it on the Stern Show about 2 years ago, and it's just Norm, and he interviews people, and he's a riot because he's Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald was one of my favorite Weekend Update anchors, and he also had a show that I want to say followed the Daily Show. It was called, like, The Sports Show? I want to say it's something as simple as that. It was The Daily Show, but like with Norm MacDonald making like snippy comments about sports. I don't like sports, Jane. You know this about me. Like I don't even like Quidditch, which is not even a real sport. Like I don't like pretend sports. Like I don't like Parisi Squares and Star Trek. I don't like any kind of sports.
What about the thing in Star Wars with the let the Wookiee win?
That's a chess game. That's not a sport. That's nerd. That's chess. Okay.
All right.
I'm just like that's like playing D&D inside the Star Wars universe.
To me, that was a sport. But whatever. I digress.
Whatever. I don't like sports. Mm-hmm. Norm MacDonald had a show called The Sports Show, or it's something to that degree, mm-hmm. or, and I loved it. Comedy Central canceled it.
Like, yeah, they cancel everything I loved.
I thought it fit very well with The Daily Show, and Norm was just funny. And he was so funny, it made me forget how much I dislike sports.
Norm MacDonald is a treasure. And when I had Sirius, which I did for many years, one of my favorite guests was Norm MacDonald on Howard Stern's show.
The Friars Club roasts just, that he's presented at. Like, I'm just telling you, like, he was never a sketch actor. That was never his strength when he was on Saturday Night Live. Like, he just has this really wry, just delightful,
he really
just dry.
Appeals to me. Very much so. All right. He was born in 59, so
it's about 40. He's getting close to 60. He's in his 50s at this point.
Yeah, he's almost 60. Actually, I thought he was older, but I think it's because he kind of plays older. You know what I mean?
And I don't think he makes it a point to take care of himself. Like, he probably does. He doesn't get the salad whenever he goes to McDonald's.
Anyway, I'll be honest. I don't care what you think about anything he may or may not have tweeted. Norm MacDonald, and I say this, you know, because we're close, Norm MacDonald is going to say what's funny. And that's it.
It doesn't matter if it's PC.
Like, he's just going to say what's funny, and that's why I love him.
And I don't think it's because he's never tried to be like a shock comedian.
No.
I think Norm just, he finds the joke, and like, whether or not like it's socially acceptable to say the joke,
mm-hmm.
he makes it. And usually he lands it.
Yeah.
And I have really, whenever people get into those situations, like, I really kind of try to stay away from it because it's one of those, me arguing about it or people arguing about it on social media, like,
mm-hmm.
generally you don't ever change anybody else's opinion
right.
on any of those things. So I try not to weigh in and spend my time literally doing anything else.
And so then I read this stupid headline some stupid woman wrote, like, Norm MacDonald has an awful show, and somebody, Jane never heard of, therefore you didn't either, has a great show, and that show got canceled. I don't care, because you suck. Norm MacDonald has a show, is on Netflix, and it is fantastic. It's just him being Norm, being hilarious. I have seen the first one is with David Spade. Half the time, David Spade doesn't know what's going on. And he keeps saying that we have to do a break, only he wasn't going to a break. And there is no studio audience. There's just the crew. And it's awesome.
Spade also had a show on Comedy, the Showbiz Show, which was basically the Daily Show with that.
I remember that. Guess
what happened to that show?
Must have gotten canceled.
Yeah. Do you know how great The Block would have been? Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart, David Spade, and Norm MacDonald in a two-hour block doing Hollywood, sports, news, and then whatever Stephen Colbert decided that he wanted to do.
Didn't Sarah have some show or part of a show on Comedy Central? Or
she had ran some stuff by Comedy, or not Comedy, Daily Show. She was running by some potential bits like for them.
In my mind, she also
She was also the anchor for several years.
Yes, in my mind, she
like
did
she?
Her own
I
show.
Believe she predated.
I think so,
predated
so,
Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
She was after Noah. Yeah, it was one of those.
Yeah. In my mind, she did that, and in my mind, I'm her total inspiration. But whatever, I digress.
It is.
But it's probably
you
true.
Know a lot of stuff that in A Beautiful Mind didn't happen, or the facts have been altered. So I mean,
still works. And
whenever we do your biopic, we can fill in the blanks however we see fit.
Anyway, it's delightful. The way Norm talks is great. The kind of stuff he gets out of the people he's talking with. I saw him talk
because
with
he does
Drew Barrymore.
He does not have that Carson style. Like, and
correct.
I'm not downing Johnny Carson.
No.
Johnny Carson had a very, just easily digestible, it was for the masses.
Yes.
And Carson was probably the greatest host of The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take that in a way that I'm saying that he wasn't good at it. He basically wrote the book on it. When you're doing interview cliches, you're probably doing Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Norm MacDonald does not interview like Carson.
Right. He talks to famous people just like he is talking to his buddies and you happen to listen. It's kind of like Jon Favreau's Dinner for Five. They're just kind of casually talking. And actually, David Spade told a Carson story because he was telling a story and Norm says, aren't you telling me a story about a character you were in a movie? Well, yeah, but you want to tell me a real story, Dave? So David Spade's story is a riot. And because I love to talk about Carson, I shall. So on Carson, that was the way a comedian got their break. They went on Carson.
Yeah, you played. You did your 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was, on Carson.
The world
didn't
know you unless you were on Carson.
Yep.
Okay? And so
maybe an HBO special, but you probably got your HBO special.
Yeah, before HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to go on Carson. Now, Carson rarely invited the comics to come sit with him. So David Spade is very young. And I forgot the guy he's talking to, but David Spade is asking questions like, well, what do I do if he calls me over? And the guy goes, ha, 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 just do what I tell you. There's the mark. Go hit your mark. Turn around. You leave here. Don't do anything else. Because it's like, what are the chances you're going to get called back? None, buddy. So what happens is Martin Short is the first guest. So first of all, Spade has to follow Martin Short.
Which, and we're probably talking about late 80s, early.
Virtually impossible.
So, Short.
Before SNL.
Short was maybe not at his prime there, but this is post SCTV. Dude's got some clout at the very
definitely.
Least.
Oh, definitely. So yeah. He's following Martin Short and he does his stuff. It all lands and he turns around and he's trying to go back to do what the guy said. He is so nervous about all this. He doesn't realize that Johnny's talking to him with Martin Short. He goes, hey, why don't you come over, David? Well, I guess he's just going to walk away. Carson asked him to come sit on the couch, and he walked away.
I mean, honestly, okay. That is probably a moment that he dreamed about since he decided he wanted to do stand-up comedy. Being in that, he was probably so, rushed
but
with
it gets
adrenaline.
Better. It gets better. So he leaves. The guy, I don't know, assistant director, whoever, is then mad at him because he didn't do what Carson said. So that guy said he's going to get in trouble. He is in a flop sweat. He goes to his dressing room. He takes his shirt off because he is soaked. And he's just like, what just happened? What just happened? Then he hears a knock on the door, and he thinks it's the assistant director to yell at him again. And he opens the door. It's Ed McMahon, Martin Short, and Johnny Carson. And little 25-year-old David Spade in his shorts standing there looking
pre-SNL,
at him.
Pre-SNL, like, deer in a headlight, just green as you can be. Like,
what?
Not, barely wet behind the ears.
And then 2 months later, Carson left the show. So, what a great story. And that's the kind of stuff you get on The Norm Macdonald Show. His talking with Drew Barrymore was wonderful. I'll be honest. I am well-read, but a great deal of what I am well-read about happens to be stuff you've never read. Because a lot of my concentration was classical literature, as in Roman and Greek classical literature.
Whereas in most of my literature was DC and Marvel.
Yes. So they're talking about all these authors, and it's like, I don't know who that is. I didn't hear you say Crichton. I don't know what you're talking about. But they're going back and forth because she's really into all this stuff. And it's like, huh. But Drew Barrymore said something lovely. And I'm going to make my children watch it.
There is a point to make. Norm Macdonald is not an ignorant man,
mm-hmm.
Either.
Oh, yeah, he knew all. They were talking back and forth.
Dude is actually, pretty well-read and just an intelligent individual, period, which you don't always get from, if you've just watched him in movies or maybe watched him on Weekend Update.
Because no matter what he's saying, he always kind of sounds like a dirty old man just because of his delivery.
Yeah, I'll grant you that. Even when he was a young, he was probably just a dirty young man.
And it's kind of almost a Columbo delivery. And if you don't know who that is, well, I don't care. That's what's going on. Now, the reason I'm telling what Drew Barrymore is about to say via me, her chosen vessel for this evening, is this is not the kind of thing you would get to on a normal interview. A normal interview, you're going to tell a funny story about whatever, and you're going to promote your book, your movie, your TV show, whatever. Thank you, good night.
If you ever watched any kind of late show, Letterman, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jay Leno, any of those guys, that's how you do it.
Yeah, and it's not that there isn't funny stuff there. It's just that's...
But they're machines. They are built... I mean, they're there to be a commercial for whatever project you have coming up.
So he had said that she and Lily Tomlin were alike in his mind because they had such a spark and such a glow about them, and a glow of kindness. And she said... Something that I've said to my own children. But she says, you know what? I think every interaction is a chance for you to be kind to someone. Even if you're just at a convenience store, she goes, just being one-on-one with the person in the convenience store and being nice to them. She goes, I don't want to be mean to them. I don't want them to be mean to me. So why not just we all be nice? And it just struck me that you wouldn't normally hear, they would have no reason to discuss that in the machine of an interview.
Right. But that wasn't relevant to when she was trying to get, 51st dates or never been kissed.
Right. Judge Judy, hilarious.
A genuinely funny woman.
Yes, and with him? Oh, my God.
Well, she doesn't have to be the one keeping the mechanism moving along, making sure, we've got to get this thing to an entertaining 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure that this, when they are not the one having to run that show, there's a lot of people. If you'll just get them in those candid moments.
That's what it is. It's candid moments. And that is, and I have this argument with virtually, I don't know, everyone, because they all seem to have a bad image of Howard Stern. I listened to Howard Stern since he was in Washington, D.C. at D.C. 101. And he has changed, but he greatly affected my radio career with his interviewing. And his interviewing has evolved. And he himself has said that. He said he used to be a very angry young man. He says he's just not anymore. And what happens is when he interviews these major stars, because now when you promote If you're going to do radio, you're going to do the Stern Show.
Yeah.
And it's because he spends an hour, he knows what he's talking about, and you get candid moments.
Well, it's not that, like, okay, at best, if you, like, let's say you were on Jay Leno's Tonight Show. You get what, 7 minutes?
If that, yeah.
And, like,
and you're the A-lister.
You've got to get in there. Like, you have got that 3 minutes to get that nice little, like, colloquial story in there. But then you've also got to make sure that your movie or your mm-hmm. CD or your book or whatever it was, you've also got to get in and talk about that. It's coming out, like, July 7th. We got to make sure to do that. Like, you can't get that. The strength of, like, Stern was always that, like, because his show, like, I don't know, what was the average? Let's say somewhere between 4 to 6 hours, like when he was doing daily.
Daily, it was four.
Okay. When you've got 4 hours to fill, and like, it's not like he was also, Stern was the attraction. Right. It wasn't necessarily like the music. Like, if you were listening to Stern, mm-hmm. you were listening to Stern, not because you wanted to yeah. hear like top 40 or anything like that. Like, he was the main attraction. So like, if you have to fill up that amount of time, like, you don't have to rush to get, like, you could probably pimp right. something on there if you wanted to.
Which is what I loved when he got to go to Sirius, because much like this, I loved being on the radio. But as we all know, as I've said, I'd rather just listen to myself talk to people I like to talk to.
And
I don't want to play the commercials and the music.
There are some people that are so interesting, like, you do want to do that. Like, you don't need them sandwiched between, you know, the Rolling Stones or mm-hmm. like Britney Spears' latest or what, like I said, whatever radio that you are listening to. And Stern is definitely one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, Norm is doing something similar. It is shorter, but you're getting candid moments from people that simply are interesting. And at the end of it, what I really love is they do jokes, as in everyone at the table has to read jokes, and they're clean, and a lot of them are really stupid, and that's funny.
Yeah.
It's just
one
funny.
Of the, what was the roast he was on? I want to say it was Bob Saget's. He went on there, and like, Bob Saget, like, you probably know him from either America's Funniest Home Videos mm-hmm. or Full House.
Mm-hmm.
Very whole, like, this is early 90s ABC, mm-hmm. wholesome as can be. I mean, just mom,
yeah, but that's,
apple pie,
that's not his
and baseball.
Stand-up.
Now, if you have ever watched Bob Saget's stand-up, like, I have, my daughter, like, loves Full House and Fuller House. Like, that is her Bible mm-hmm. right there. For like, the way that you and I can make references to, like, Star Trek or Star Wars or any other, like,
things.
Mountain of pop culture that you and I have locked away in our minds. That's what she does. It's like, oh, well, it's like that episode of Full House. Mm-hmm. And I just let her do it because I think it's adorable. Like, because that's what her lexicon is. She doesn't know that about Bob Saget. And good Lord knows I'm not going to tell her.
Yeah, one
about
day
it.
She's going to be like 25 and come across something. And like,
or she's going to YouTube Bob Saget one day yeah. and just be like, oh, it's Danny Tanner. Oh, what is he said? What? Because, I mean, like, when Bob Saget, like, does his, I mean, he's talking about, like, sucking this, like, doing that. Like, I mean, it's M-rated kind of stuff. Like, he probably wouldn't have got called over on The Tonight Show
yeah.
because they wouldn't have let him on with that material.
Mm-hmm. So you get good stuff like this. And if this gets canceled, I'm just going to be, my life will be ruined. Really?
The reason why things get canceled, like, especially on, like, Stars or Netflix, is because of the ridiculous amount of cost that's involved with them.
Like, there's virtually no cost,
like,
in this show.
Game of Thrones on HBO, like, it can continue to exist the way that it does and be as expensive as it was. Because I'm going to tell you right now, those dragons, guarantee you they're not cheap. Like,
I know the dragon I
they
had.
They keep setting. Yeah, I mean, the
costs a lot.
Like, or if you go on vacation and you have to put them in like a dragon mm-hmm. kennel or
it's
something,
it's not easy.
Like, those shows can command that because, like, every time Game of Thrones does another episode, it sets another rating record.
Mm-hmm.
Shows like Altered Carbon, which you and I have even covered on there, mm-hmm. like, the production value on that is ridiculous, but that comes at a cost, and I don't mean like a proverbial cost. I mean a right. literal cost. Like, those shows are big bucks. Mm-hmm. And if those are not constantly like turning a profit or like getting the subscriptions or viewers mm-hmm. or however Netflix quantifies its stuff, they're going to be gone because mm-hmm. like they're not going to do that at a loss. The show that you are describing to me is Norm MacDonald talking to people. So whatever yes. it costs maybe to fly them in or rent the studio or have built that set.
And he was doing this on YouTube. Before. And he would read a live commercial for something I never heard of in the middle of it. So he had like one or two sponsors. And
probably
it was
covered,
awesome.
Yeah, just covered.
Letterman was on it. Seinfeld was on it. On Norm MacDonald's YouTube version of this show.
Because both of them have always, always been about like the funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they made some, like, I'm not going to, Jerry Seinfeld made some money. Like, oh, when yeah. he was doing Seinfeld and like the last season, NBC is like, we will give you $5 million an episode. And he's like, what am I going to do with
that?
I
really love hearing old Jerry. He's like, I don't care. You know, what about kids this? And they go, well, I don't care.
Or like Letterman. Letterman, like, even though he was part, like, The Late Show made some money for CBS. When he was on the show that followed tonight, what is it, The Late?
I don't know. I
whatever, the one that Conan O'Brien had, mm-hmm. like, before.
The late? Was it The Late Late?
I think
I
it's
know.
The Late Late.
And what's the one that Scottish guy did? Same one?
That's the one that Kilborn vacated.
No, I thought he vacated Daily Show.
He vacated The Daily Show to go to that show, but after he vacated
oh.
it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I missed that part.
Yeah.
And that's what James Corden has now.
Yes, the yes. one that right. he, yeah, yeah. Okay. I think, yeah, we're on the same wavelength now. But you've got all these, and, like, these guys are genuinely, like, funny people. Letterman did that for 30 years, like, I guarantee you, because it paid well. But at the end of it, like, the great thing about these guys now, like, Jerry Seinfeld doesn't have to work. Like, when he did B-Movie, guarantee it's because he wanted to do B-Movie. Like, mm-hmm. when you have so that much money, and, like, Letterman is stupid rich. Seinfeld is stupid. When Seinfeld goes out and does stand-up, it's because Jerry Seinfeld wants to do stand-up. Because mm-hmm. Jerry Seinfeld doesn't have to do anything.
Which is awesome.
Jerry Seinfeld could become a recluse for the rest of his life, have everything shipped to his door, never leave his house again. If he wants to do it, it's because he wants to do it. I guarantee you, they heard this or saw this, mm-hmm. or they're friends with Norm, and he's like, guys, you need to check it out. If you think it's funny, come do it. And yeah. they were just like, oh my goodness, it's this is funny. I want to do this. It doesn't matter if he pays me $2 million to do it. I don't need it.
You know, I'll be honest. If Norm MacDonald asks me and you to come on this show, I'd do it.
Yes.
For free.
But, like, you and I might have some ulterior motives
yeah,
there.
No,
like, being on Norm MacDonald's show definitely doesn't hurt the two of us.
No, it doesn't.
Like, if anything, I'd say we gain a certain yeah. degree of notoriety being associated with Norm MacDonald on a show on Netflix.
So, here's the deal. It's called Norm MacDonald Has a Show. Watch them all. Just watch them all. I cannot wait. I mean, and it's really great to just listen to as well, because sometimes I will listen to a show and I have to drive a lot, and this one is great to do that because you don't really have to watch them.
Definitively binge-worthy. Mm-hmm.
And then go find it on YouTube, because there are tons more there, and I love them all. But the production values, even though this one on Netflix is by no means fancy-looking compared to what he had on YouTube.
They weren't mortgaging
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, like they moved out of the garage and they're in an actual studio now. So.
The way it almost, like, and I think it was Adam Carolla has got a podcast, mm-hmm. like, as well worth listening to. Like, Norm MacDonald, like, the fact that, like, it moved from there to there, like, if you have got a, like, let's say a 4-hour trip you've got to make, like Kevin Smith,
yeah.
Kevin Smith has a podcast to fit you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it is just, it's like whatever size you need, whatever subject you need. Like, he's got that one there. And Norm MacDonald, just because the thing about it is, as famous as he is, he can get your Drew Barrymore's. He can get mm-hmm. Letterman's, like Seinfeld's, like in there. You have just got this wealth of talent that you can dive into that, like, for years, it sounds like Norm MacDonald was just doing it because it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to do it. Like,
yeah.
I guarantee he wasn't, like, pulling in, like, you know, just a ridiculous amount off YouTube. He was just doing it because, like, this sounds fun.
Yeah.
Gives me something to do. Like, it's a good creative outlet. And now Netflix is probably, like, they're probably greasing his palm a little. Maybe mm-hmm. not a lot, but enough that, like, he's still doing it.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And if you don't find this funny, then
you're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight you in the parking lot, but I will.
But you're wrong.
But
and
I
think Jane Fonda is one of the interviews. I can't wait to hear that as well. But I'm really loving I'm in the middle of the Judge Judy one right now, and it's delightful. I'm also watching season 2 of Ozark. Things that annoy me about Ozark. Everything seems to be blue and really, really dark.
I'm sure that's an aesthetic choice.
It is, and I'm going to have to go and change the lighting on the TV because sometimes it's like, does it all have to be blue? Really? That bothers me just a little.
Go back and watch Zack Snyder's Man of Steel. There is a version that they've put out there where, like, they took, like, they had messed with, like, the color tones and everything, like, because it's just a dark looking. Zack Snyder likes dark.
Mm-hmm.
Looking, but his Watchmen, his 300, they mess around with like the sepia tone, all of this in all of his movies. They color corrected Superman because they were just like, Superman's a bright, happy character. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you? And they're like, you mean this? And they're just, it's amazing the difference it looks. It almost changes the feel of the movie mm-hmm. because Superman's wearing a brighter blue, and the character is a hopeful, kind mm-hmm. kind of character. And maybe that I would say probably whomever is doing like the color correction or whatever in that movie, it's probably a specific tonal choice.
Oh, I'm sure.
That they're just like, we want things to kind of
well,
be.
Well, it is dark, and a lot of it does
dour.
Happen at night.
Yeah.
Now, compared to season one, it's very good. I'm going to watch all of it. I recommend it. It's good. I preferred season one, I guess, because everything was new. Marty Bird, he finds out that his partner was involved in all this stuff, and so he has to run with his family, and then he ends up having to kind of start laundering for a mob type person.
This, it sounds like you're having the problem I had with some of the later seasons of Homeland. Like, did you happen to watch any of that?
No.
Okay. The first season of Homeland is remarkable. Like, the premise is just, it's fresh, it's delightful, and I mean, it hooks you.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with it is, it's not one of those, like, okay, NCIS or Law & Order or whatever, like, you can just perpetually do those
right.
for 20 years. You can do 100 episodes, like, 400 episodes, whatever. Like, it lends itself to just, you can do this ad nauseum. The problem with like premises that are that specific, that you ring a very specific mm-hmm. amount of dread, like Homeland had to wrap it up before the end of that first season, or at least like the premise they were giving you at the beginning of it. You weren't going to get 8 years out of this concept. And like the second season and the third where I stopped watching, they just weren't as good. And it's not because the quality of the
right.
show just bottomed out. It's just that first season just had you.
Yeah, because with Ozark, it's like, what are they going to do? How are they going to do that? And it was interesting to see how this regular lawyer, accountee type guy, whatever he was, is had to adjust in order to save his family. And so in this one, he has had to partner with the hillbillies that run the opium fields in Ozark, and they're called
that is quite
the
a sentence.
Snells.
That's quite a sentence, right?
Isn't
there.
It? The Snells. And Mrs. Snell, oh, she's a live wire, that one. And she shoots a lot of people. She just gets angry, but now she wants a baby. She's like 60 years old, whatever. So they're dealing with the Snells, and the whole what drives this episode, other than the fact that now it's the Snells instead of the guy from the cartel. Oh, yeah, it was a drug cartel. It's the FBI agent who is not quite right in the head. And he is trying to break this case. But he's got a lot of personal issues. And you know he's going to ruin it.
Yeah.
And it's not, I know this will happen. So that's not going to be a surprise.
I get the catch about shows like that. And like Jason Bateman seems like an actor that, and he knows how to gravitate toward quality. Like
yes.
when he did Zootopia, like very different than say Arrested Development, mm-hmm. but not any less like quality. Like Jason Bateman, I really think knows how to pick a quality project. Teen Wolf 2, notwithstanding. But the thing about shows like this, like where you almost have
to direct some of these.
I believe I want to say he directed.
A producer, maybe.
I want to say he directed a couple of Arrested Development too.
Yeah,
he did. If I'm remembering right, you shows that again have such a specific like hook each season, like, and you have to reinvent it, and sometimes you can't get a concept that's Breaking Bad almost had to do that,
mm-hmm.
like each season. And what made that show so ridiculously popular is they successfully did it. I want to say. Just about like every season, Mad Men almost had to do the same thing. You would have like your initial premise, and then at the end of the season, you would have something that basically broke that world.
Right.
And you could not go back to it season two or season three or whatever. And like the reason why those shows like were particularly iconic in the moments that they were is because they kept successfully reinventing themselves. I don't know that I ever saw an episode of Mad Men or Breaking Bad that I was just sitting there going, I've already seen this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Well,
they did this better on.
He doesn't want to have a life of crime, and he doesn't want his family or him to get killed. And they haven't killed anybody. It's just they're surrounded by this. He also doesn't want to go to jail.
All of these things, like, I can sympathize with.
Yes. However, the name of the show is Ozark. And what he and his wife, they have a plan. We're just going to get this casino boat going. It will perpetually do all this stuff to take care of the cartel. They're off our back. The Snells are happy. We're going to disappear. Well, I know they're not because the show isn't called Ozark dot, dot, dot. It's called Ozark. So clearly they're going to end up staying.
Now, to be fair, Smallville, a show which very much kind of backed itself into a corner about the locations with which conceivably you could be in. The later seasons of Smallville primarily take place in Metropolis.
I did not know that.
That's, I mean, like, well, you have a show whose premise is young Superman in high school.
Yeah.
It ran 10 years. Mm. Like,
yeah, he had to graduate eventually.
I'm just saying, like, eventually he got out of high school, and like, when
did he go to college?
When you get him up to that age, like when he's 27, I'm just saying, like, Smallville, Kansas, like Smallville is an aptly named town. Like, mm-hmm. it's very like mom and but like, I would not be surprised to see Dorothy Gale like walk across the street like in that thing, and I mean. When you run 10 years, and I mean, it's a network show, so you're talking probably about 22, 24 episodes a season. Eventually, like, you're probably just like, I've done every single thing I can do in frigging Smallville.
So, with Ozark, there'll be a season 3. It is very well done, and I really love Jason Bateman in virtually anything.
Why shouldn't you, and who doesn't?
Exactly. So, definitely be a season 3, but my... The hook isn't there for me, but it's a well-done show. There. So, unlike Norm MacDonald, where as soon as we're done, I'm turning it back on in the car because I can't wait, I can wait on Ozark Season 2, but it is a good show.
Well, the great thing about Norm, though, like, he's not filling a 52-minute narrative. I don't have to sit there and start paying attention to make sure that I understand that this happened because these characters interacted here. Like with Norm, I'm betting like literally I can just stop it. Like I can, if I need to do like some dishes at the house, like if I need to mow the lawn and I just pop that thing onto like my MP3 player or something, there's nothing stop. I can enjoy that anywhere. Like
your MP3 player, like your phone?
That's the thing that plays MP3. Yes.
Okay. Checking.
My iPod. The thing about the like they you can just pick them up and do them anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like back when The Sopranos was still first run, that was not a show that like I could watch just willy nilly. Like I really needed to sit down because like the atmosphere, the story, like all of these things were pouring into like all of these episodes.
And Ozark too is. Well, the first one was kind of this way as well, but there's a lot of quiet time in it where it's like,
there's
poor coffee.
There's some subtlety in the performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that combined with the fact that it's all blue and dark, it's like, what are you doing? You kind of have to watch it to figure out what
you're doing. Yeah, like, I mean, there really are some shows, and sometimes they are less popular because of it. Like, they require something from mm-hmm. you. Like,
now, Ozark 2 is not family friendly, unless all of your family is over 21.
Depending on what kind of family you want to raise.
That's true. Okay, now...
Jane and I both have kids that are still unusual. In middle school and younger. And granted, I will say unusual. But I would not... Ozarks is not for them. This is for mom and dad and maybe some risque grandparents.
Yeah, because I was listening to it while I did my makeup one morning, and so I can see my TV from the bathroom if I turn my head to the left. I was looking at myself, so I really wasn't paying attention, and there was, you know, like mumbling and walk. I knew kind of what was going on. And my 12-year-old walks in and said, Mom? Why are you watching this? And, you know, it's some woman in a G-string only talking to another woman who is hiring her to do something. And it's like, I didn't even bother to explain. I said, I don't know when I'm watching it. I don't know why. Leave.
No. No.
Oh, no. She left. She goes, I don't want to watch that. So, yeah, it's not family friendly, and I should remember to shut the door. But that aside, it is well done. And Norm Macdonald has a show is fabulous.
From a parental standpoint, the thing about the difference between streaming and like network, like back in the day, like you could watch something at 7 o'clock and like you knew that Standards and Practices was up their tail on that. Like if Shoney's and Taco Bell and whomever else were going to be advertising on this, like, or if McDonald's was pimping a Happy Meal, like they weren't going to get away with saying like, it, you know, MF and GD, like mm-hmm. you knew that wasn't going to happen. The thing about like what Netflix and I mean, even HBO Go, any Hulu, any of these do, like they're not specifically aired at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Like you knew when you got to 9 o'clock on networks, like you were allowed to get away with it. Like NYPD Blue, like famously got away with pushing the envelope or like mm-hmm. stuff that AMC would do because they knew that they were a cable like network. Mm-hmm. You were allowed to do more than you could if you were ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever at 7 p.m. on Sunday.
Right. So
keep that in mind when you're doing this. Netflix doesn't necessarily just cater to a single crowd.
Yes.
There's literally something for every demographic on that. What do I call it? Just a service?
Yeah.
Streaming service?
So if you're watching Ozark 2 at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday,
keep in mind.
Aware.
Yeah.
Just
like,
be
it's
aware.
Not, I know that like they're probably airing Pokemon or something on Cartoon
they
Network.
Could be.
But you need to keep that in mind, especially if you do have younger eyes or impressionable minds that you might not want having this impressioned on at this point.
Yeah. When it comes to language, for the most part, they're fine with that, and I'm fine with what I let them watch language-wise. When it comes to bloody gore, it depends, but usually, as we've said, I don't know if we've said it on the show before, but if it's like not real, It's a sci-fi fantasy thing. The kids, I don't really have that much of a problem with it. But if it's like a family story and the dog dies, no. I mean, that could really happen to us. So that helps me decide what they can watch or not. And if there's any type of nudity, they will disappear to their rooms so fast. And it's like, oh, I forgot that was in
Man,
this.
Man, there is nothing more uncomfortable than like, okay, back in, let's see, when did Interview with a Vampire come out? 1995?
Sure.
94? That sounds right.
Yeah.
I want to say, it's one of those times. My family had rented it. And, you know, you didn't have websites out there that could tell you why things were... There, for the most part, like it's not a particularly gory or like vulgar film, but there is a scene in it where the vampires are in theater, and like there's some just straight up nudity, and like it's not a fleeting like glance. It's not like one of those like blink and you miss it. Like it's some like full on nudity. And like,
I don't even remember that part.
Like it's the part where they meet Antonio Banderas' character.
Okay.
Like, and it's not even like sexual nudity. It's just, it's nudity and they're about to kill her. But I've got like my aunts and my uncles and like I want to say even maybe my grandma was the, and I'm just like,
and you know what, Adam? They've all seen nudity.
Oh my, like, but.
But now
this
you
is,
know.
Okay, listen, I am almost 40 at this point. Like, there's not a lot of stuff that you can do that's even going to make me blush at this point. This was, depending on what, it was 94 or 95. This is either 14-year-old or 15-year-old Adam, okay? Adam wasn't as sure of himself then. He probably acted like it. He was like a cocky little schmuck. I remember that. But, like, he doesn't have the life experience as I do. And I just remember wanting to shrink into, like, the couch cushion, just anywhere, be anywhere but there in that moment, like, oh, just anywhere. Drop me on the surface of the sun, like, just several miles, like, fathoms below in the ocean. I was just
sitting. Did you ever then have a special, a family moment at your home and discussing what you saw?
No. I think, happily, everyone else was just as uncomfortable as me because my family was quite conservative, and I'm sure they're just like, well, Tom Cruise is doing what?
It's like
Days of Thunder. How dare you?
Was there someone trying to, like, we could fast forward this. Can we fast forward this?
Well, here's the deal. I am the one that knew how to hook up and unhook, set things. Like, so they were probably just like,
why is this
somebody tell Adam to, I don't know how. Which button? It maybe if we wait here longer, it'll just be done. Oh, it's not done. Why is it not done?
I tried to introduce the girls to Seinfeld, and so I just picked one at random, and I picked.
Is it the one with Terry Hatcher?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was the contest.
And that's just about, never mind. If there were two episodes, I had a 50-50 shot at guessing the one, the episode of Seinfeld, you don't.
Yeah.
Did they have questions about what the contest was?
Oh, we lasted 5 minutes.
Excellent.
And it's like, and Jim's like,
we're going to do the parking garage.
Yeah, Jim's going, he's like mouthing to me, what are you doing?
Turn it off.
And it's like, and I really, I know what the contest is about, but I didn't remember a lot of the actual lines.
The discussions.
Yes. And so Elaine starts having a discussion, which is hilarious.
No, and it's a funny episode.
I realized that I just said, nope, we're not going to watch this right now.
No,
we haven't gone back.
All due respect for that show, Larry David. Like, it's a funny episode.
It is,
but it is not a discussion that I personally want to have with any member of my family at this point.
Exactly.
Well, maybe when they're older.
Maybe or I don't
maybe
think
or
so.
Or never. Probably never.
I never had such a discussion with any member of my family.
No.
So I don't.
Feel I don't feel it necessary to have
Jenna
them
is,
with
one of them
my
is gonna,
family.
You know, those one of them's going to bring something up at some time.
Listen, I've got five boys, okay? Like,
oh yeah.
Chris and I have had this
You're
discussion.
Scrawled.
She's like, well, you take the boys and I'll take the girl,
whatever.
And I'm just like, do you just listen? One of them's plural and the other is singular.
Yeah, but we do have a rougher.
I don't. I'd almost rather, like, just trade and be uncomfortable, like, with that, because I'm just like, but I'm going to have to do it five times. Like,
you know what I love to do to the children, just to get a rise out of them? We'll be doing whatever. And I said, hey, girls, come here. Yeah, I said, I'm going to tell you how babies are made. And they scatter.
Ah!
It's a riot.
It's like running into a field with, like, a four-wheel drive truck.
Nope.
As soon as they see
not.
Those headlights, they're just like,
I just love bringing
it up.
It's
like a possum caught in the road. They're just like, oh, before I get run over.
Yeah, I love it. I think next time I'm going to say, like, in front of their friends, hey, kids, your babies are made, just for their reaction. I'm not going to tell them. They can find out in a library like I did.
One of ours has they're not even dating. Like, they had, like, this to-do about holding hands. So, like, it's actually kind of cute and precious in its innocence. But, like, Chris and I are joking to, like, each other about, I'm just like, do you want to embarrass him with this? And she's like, no, Adam, he is a well-behaved, like, he is just a wonderful young man. And I'm like, right, right.
Yeah,
but I
whatever.
Mean, like, it's the nuclear deterrent. Whenever he's not, shouldn't we have?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, let's load the chamber. I'm not saying pull it out of the holster.
You know what? All
but
you
if
have
I
to
need
do,
it, if I need it, okay?
Have him say to either of my daughters, I'm dating so-and-so, and they will lay down the law. Oh, really? So you have a job? You have a car? You don't live in your mama's basement? And
I'm just to be when you're 12, okay? You can't really do any of the.
So then you can't date.
He has not been emancipated like
exactly.
from us.
So okay? Then they'll say, so hey, guess what? You're not dating. I love hearing them say that. It's so funny.
Okay, then what's the proper like verbiage and noun?
You're
a courting.
Your special friend. Anyway, we're not going to go long on this one. Ozark 2, good, but slow and blue, but Jason Bateman.
It's a slow burn. Like,
yeah,
but
Jason
like
Bateman.
Ozark wasn't exactly a mile a minute. Like,
no, but it's, and again, Jason Bateman. Norm MacDonald has a show, Laugh Riot.
And it is both the name of it and the sentence that sets it up.
There you go.
It's Norm MacDonald. Like he is an acquired taste. Like for some people,
he's genuinely funny.
But like I'm going to tell you, like that's my brand of hot sauce right there.
Yeah, really, really is. So watch them or not, and we will talk about other stuff that's streaming on other things at another time,
as we tend to do.
Yeah, we're going to need to do a bunch ahead of time because of the fall break.
Ew.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can handle that.
All right, yeah. I think we've proven we could talk about anything, really. It has nothing to do with the names of these podcasts. But thank you again, Wendy, for sticking with us.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, plaguey goodness.
Tell the better end.
And I want to say what wonderful thing is coming out. Oh, I know. I'll watch some of the Iron Fist because it really, really got panned. And it did take me a while to get into the first season.
Season 2 seems to have less savage reviews. Maybe.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know.
I've not got to watch it yet, but the reviews seem, they're not kind, but they're kinder.
Okay. I will let you know. In the meantime, Norm, Adam, and I are available for the show.
I mean, this is just, if you just need somebody doing craft services, we're available to do that too. I don't have to be on the show. I'd love to, but I mean, you need somebody to sweep up after.
We'll do that too.
I'm your man, Norm.
Just fly us in. That's all. Maybe feed us. Yeah, feed us.
Or if you don't need a man, I can be the woman, Norm. Like,
yeah.
I can wear a wig.
Just
whatever you need. I'm your man. I'm your woman. Like, whatever.
Uncle Milty had a huge, huge effect on Adam. Just leave it at that.
For the three people that got that joke. That's what's great. Like, it comes from everywhere.
So funny.
We don't... Nobody can ever accuse us of making the exact same joke over and over and over.
I guess we should film these because they're really missing. They're really missing. Okay. Yeah, if you want us to film this, listen to it several more times and we'll know that's a yes. And we'll talk to you again next week on Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.